Well, over the last few months, after dinner, Jesse and I have been reading Emmett this wonderful book. It's a children's adaptation of Pilgrim's Progress, the classic book from a few centuries ago. This one's called Little Pilgrim's Progress. You can certainly recommend it. It's about this little bunny called Christian, who leaves behind his home in the City of Destruction and makes his way to the Celestial City, where the king and his mother are waiting for him. And to get to the Celestial City, Christian the bunny has to travel along the way of the king. But of course, time and time again, he faces temptations to leave the way of the king. So a mole called Pliable there on the left, he urges Christian, come back with me to the City of Destruction. You know, this whole journey, it's too much trouble. It's not worth it. The people of another city in Vanity Fair, they offer Christian every entertainment and pleasure that he could imagine if only he would become one of them and abandon his pilgrimage. Later, when the way of the king gets hard, Bypath Meadow looks like an easy detour, but he soon gets lost and ends up imprisoned at the castle of the giant Despair. See, at every turn, the question that Christian is faced with is, and the question that we today are faced with ourselves is, which path will we walk? Will we walk the way of the world, or will we walk on the way of the king? In chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians, Paul uses the Greek word for walking on 5 occasions. So in last week's passage, if you remember, he wrote that we should live a life worthy of our calling. Well, the word live there, literally translated, is the word for walk. Walk worthily. As the letter continues, Paul also tells us to walk in love. We'll see that next week. To walk as children of light, to walk in wisdom. And we'll look at each of those in the coming weeks. But in today's passage, Paul says, walk differently to the world. Walk differently. And so in verse 17 of our passage, he says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You see, when a person trusts in Jesus, they don't just continue on in the same direction they were already going. Not at all. You know, it's not like you just keep going with Jesus now tacked on the side. No, when a person trusts in Jesus, they turn around entirely, heading in a different direction, a different path altogether. The trouble is, just like Christian the bunny, we face near constant temptations to leave that path. You know, when we crave the approval of the world around us, when sinful pleasures seem easier and more attractive than obedience, when you're bombarded with ideas and beliefs from our world that are opposed to the Word of God. The question we are faced with at every turn is, which path will you walk? Will you let the world get in your head and steer you off the path all the way back to the City of Destruction? Or will you walk the way of the King, pressing on towards the Celestial City? An eternity of joy with the King and his people. Well, if that's going to be us, then we need, firstly, to see the way of the world for what it really is. Not desirable, but dark. Not fulfilling, but futile. That's when verse 17, Paul writes that the Gentiles, the pagan world around him, walk in the futility of their thinking. In verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. Now, Paul's point here isn't that the Gentile world lacked intelligence. They were very smart in many ways, but his point is the Gentile world was spiritually hopeless, spiritually ignorant. The Gentiles in the first century were thoroughly pagan, so worshipping false gods and often living grossly immoral lives, doing things that would shock even our culture today. You know, violent, exploitative, sexually abusive, depraved and proud of it. As Paul says in verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And because of all of this, the Gentile world was, broadly speaking, cut off from God. They were like dead branches severed from the roots. In verse 18, Paul says, they are separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. Ignorant of who God is and what he wants. Ignorant of the divine justice that awaited them for their evil behavior, just living like nothing was wrong. To think and to walk as the pagan Gentiles of the first century did, was to walk away from God and away from hope. It, in a word, was futile. A spiritual dead end. And while Australia in the 21st century is different in many ways from the pagan world of the first century, nevertheless, the way of our world today is no less futile. It is to walk away from God. And this is becoming more and more apparent, especially as our world increasingly abandons its Christian foundations and reverts to a kind of modern paganism. So, you know, when our world says that all truth is relative, or that all paths and all religions lead to the same God, it sounds accepting, but it's futile. There is only one way to God, and that is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. If you're on a sinking ship, and there is only one lifeboat left without holes in it, it's not loving to say to the people on board, pick your lifeboat, they'll all work out. There's only one way to God, it's the Lord Jesus. To say otherwise is futile. When our world says that we are all really good at heart and that we should follow what our hearts tell us, you know, it sounds affirming, but it's futile. The human heart is the cause of our world's problems, not the answer. We don't need affirmation, we need a savior to come and change our hearts and make them new. When our world encourages sexual activity outside of marriage, or tries to redefine marriage entirely, it sounds freeing, but it's futile. See, sexual activity is like a fire, and marriage is like the fireplace that God has given us. You know, if you keep your fire in the fireplace, it will keep your house warm. If the fire comes out of the fireplace, it will burn your house down. It's futile. When our world says that raising children is oppressive rather than a blessing, that lethally injecting babies in the womb is health care, that men can become women and vice versa, that my life is really all about me, my self-expression, my personal fulfillment. It's futile. With each step walking further away from God, with each step hardening their hearts against him in verse 18, in verse 19, losing all sensitivity to what is good and evil in his sight. In fact, our world has sought to remove God from the picture entirely, to determine what is good and evil for themselves. futile, spiritually hopeless. But remember that this impulse to walk away from God, it's not just something that happens out there. It's something that happens in here. See, the way of the world is the way of the human heart. It's the way of my heart. It's a path that we have all walked ourselves. The Ephesian Christians that Paul is writing to, they had once been the very people that Paul is describing. Notice in verse 22 that this was their former way of life, living in futility and darkness, walking away from God. And that would still be all of us too, if not for the grace of God, making us alive with Christ, even when people like me were dead in our transgressions and sins. If not for the grace of God. And so we need to see the way of the world for what it really is. So firstly, that we would long to see the people of our world turn around, reach out to them with the hope of the gospel. You're heading in a place that ends in a dead end. Come back. So that we would love and have compassion on the world around us. We also need to see the way of the world for what it really is, so that we ourselves would remember to stay on the way of the King. Stay on the narrow path, with each step going towards God, with our eyes on the celestial city ahead. And as we see in the rest of our passage, walking the way of the King means two things. It means listening differently and living differently. So firstly, walking the way of the King means listening differently. The way that we live flows from the way that we think, and the way that we think flows from what we listen to, what we fill our minds with. Those who walk the way of the world are those who listen to the world. And those who walk the way of the King are those who listen to the King. In Little Pilgrim's Progress, Christian the Bunny, he's constantly being bombarded with voices telling him to turn around, to go in the other direction. The mole, Obstinate, he says, Christian, the King in the Celestial City, all of this is nonsense. You're wasting your time. Just go back. The Mink, Worldly, he says, you'll be happier if you just forget all about the King. He doesn't have your best interests in mind. Go enjoy your life. But the King's book that Christian holds on to, it says, stay on the narrow path. And this is, in effect, what Paul is telling us in verse 20. Don't let the voices of the world get into your head. Listen to Christ. Remember the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ. So in verse 20, the way of the world is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And I think this is one of the main reasons that some Christians end up walking away from Christ. The voices that they allow to fill their minds are not mainly the voice of Christ, but the voices of the world. Whether it's the shows we watch, or the music we listen to, that was the case for me as a teenager, or the podcasts we listen to, the people we hang out with, the pictures we look at, the people we follow on social media, or whatever else, we just need to ask ourselves, what are the voices I'm listening to? What am I filling my head with? I remember a little while ago, speaking to a good Christian friend of mine who mentioned to me in passing that he was watching this R-rated show on Netflix. And when I expressed that I had serious concerns about what he was watching, his response to me was, yeah, I know, but it doesn't affect me. I can handle it. Yeah, I know it's not great, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, I dearly love my friend, but friends, that is so naive. That's so unwise. It is like opening your front door to the devil and saying, come on in. And so it saddened me greatly, but didn't surprise me when he later on told me that he stopped going to church. We need to be wise about the content that we consume, the voices we allow to influence us. And the reality is, if we do fill our minds with the futile thinking of the world, it's going to have an effect. You know, bit by bit, the things that God forbids will no longer seem so bad. In fact, they'll begin to look attractive. You know, what's the harm? Loads of people do it. Bit by bit, we start to justify why God's word is no longer relevant to us. You know, does that part really still apply to us? You know, isn't this written 2,000 years ago? Does it really still apply to us? Dusty old ancient book. Bit by bit, the approval of the world will start to matter to us more than the approval of God. And bit by bit, we drift off the way of the King. You know, that drift, it might only be a little bit at a time, you know, just drifting to the side a couple of degrees. But even a couple of degrees difference over the course of months or years can lead to miles of separation. So in verse 23, Paul writes that we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds. At the very least, that practically means that we should be filling our minds with the voice of Christ, listening to his words, being shaped and molded by his teachings, his commands, his promises. They're good and true. Even when the world around us is telling us to turn around. It is just as we read earlier in Psalm 1, this great psalm, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. There are too many Christians, and even entire denominations, have gone in that direction, taking the counsel of the wicked. But blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on the law day and night. Those who walk the way of the King are those who listen to the King. And so, walking the way of the King, it means listening differently. And secondly, it also means living differently. And Paul explains this by saying, it's kind of like putting on a new change of clothes. In verse 22, we are to put off the old self. And in verse 24, we are to put on the new self. And notice what Paul isn't saying here. He's not saying to the Christians he's writing to that you need to become the new self. No, he's saying that if you are in Christ, you already have an old self and a new self. You have already been made new. You were once dead in sin, but in Christ you've been made alive. You were once God's enemy, but in Christ you are now his adopted child, beloved. And so when Paul tells us to put off the old self, you know, to get rid of the sinful behaviors and habits of our past, it's just like he's telling us to get rid of the clothes that no longer fit us. You know, if you're going through your wardrobe and you find an old shirt full of holes and, you know, you can barely get your arm through it, you know, don't try to squeeze into it. You know, get rid of it. Get a different piece of clothing. You know, it doesn't fit you anymore. Now, the old clothing of anger and obscene language, the old clothing of lying and greed, The old clothing of sexual immorality and lust, they don't fit you anymore. You've outgrown them. And if they do fit you, if they are comfortable on you and you find yourselves wearing them all the time, then you need to ask yourself, have I really put my trust in Jesus? Have I really been made new? Or am I still just walking the way of the world? Walking away from God? If your trust is in Jesus, then you have been given a new set of clothes to wear, straight from the wardrobe of God. You know, just like in Little Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian the Bunny sets off on the way of the king sends him new garments to put on. White, spotless, pure garments. Garments so that when everyone looks at Christian, they can tell, ah, it's one of the king's pilgrims. You know, we have new clothes that match our new identity as the children of God. In verse 24, we have the clothing of righteousness and holiness, just as God is righteous and holy. We have clothing that should enable those around us to see, ah, it's one of the king's pilgrims. So friends, if you've got those clothes, don't leave them in the wardrobe. Don't try to squeeze into your old filthy clothing. Put on the clothing Christ has given you. Live differently to the world. And we're going to think a bit more about what this looks like practically in the coming weeks. As I said, Paul goes on to say that we should walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk in wisdom. We'll dwell on that more over the next few weeks. But for now, the question I just want to focus on is this. Which path are you on? Are you walking the way of the world, listening to the world, being shaped by its futile thinking, living like the world, wearing the same spiritual clothing as everyone else? Or are you walking the way of the King, listening to Christ, filling your mind with his voice, putting on the new clothes that he's given you and seeking with his help to live for him? Is that you? And of course, as we do walk the way of the King, the reality is that we are going to fail. We're going to find it hard. We're going to be tempted to step off the path, to take that detour that leads to the castle of giant despair. We're going to stumble and fall in a heap thinking it's too hard. I can't do this anymore. My sin is too great. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. And when you do, remember that you are walking on the path that Christ has already walked for you. When Jesus walked among us, he lived the perfect life that none of us could live. With every step, wearing the perfect righteousness and holiness of God like a cloak. With every step, listening to the voice of his Father, walking on the path of perfect obedience, step by step, on the way to where? To the cross. To take all of your futility and darkness upon himself. To endure separation from the life of God. So that you, if you trust in him, would never be separated from the life of God. So that your every failing would be forgiven and covered with the cloak of his righteousness. And so that just as he was raised from the dead, so too you would be raised to eternal life with him. Friends, as you walk the way of the King, remember that you are walking the path that Christ walked for you, and the path that he promises even now to walk with you. leading every person who trusts in him from the city of destruction behind to that celestial city ahead. Friends, let that be the path that you walk today. Amen. Please pray with me as we close. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to walk the path of perfect obedience in our place, to listen to you perfectly and obey you all the way to the cross. Father, we thank you that our confidence and assurance is not in our own goodness and obedience, but in his for us. Father, we pray, though, that as we look to our Savior Jesus, that as we trust in him, you would enable us to keep our feet firm on the way of the King. Lord, lead us to keep us on the narrow path. Help us to listen differently, to listen to the voice of Christ, and ultimately to put on the clothing that he's given us, the clothing of righteousness and holiness, as you yourself are righteous and holy. Guide us, we pray, by your Spirit, and preserve us till that day we see you face to face in the heavenly city above. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.